Praise the Lord. Good evening. It's good to be here with you tonight and been looking forward to Missions Conference for a long time, actually. I'm so glad to see each one of you here tonight, and I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles tonight. We'll get right into the message here in the book of Ephesians. We'll be over there in a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll meet you over there in just a moment. But Missions Conference has always been one of my favorite times of the year. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a missionary. Actually, that was before I became a missionary. Amen. I'm really thankful tonight to be part of a church where missions is practiced and where it's preached. And it's just, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Personally, my own passion for missions has been really shaped by God's work in my heart through the ministry of this church and through other faithful men. I appreciate my dad and his emphasis on missions over the first 23 years that we were here, and that has just carried on, and I know that so many of you have picked up that vision and that passion for yourself, and we praise the Lord for that. Just share a little bit of my heart with you tonight, and then we'll get into where we're going with the message tonight and for the rest of the week. But I remember, you know, probably started, I was saved. Some of you probably don't even know my testimony, I guess. It's probably been a while since I shared it, but I was saved as an 11-year-old boy, and shortly after we moved here, when my dad took the church called them to be the pastor, and God used that time in my life. A couple years after we moved, God saved me, and it was a couple years after I was saved as a 13-year-old boy that I remember God burdening my heart through the preaching of actually Brother Milton Martin. And we were still, at that time, we were, for some of you old-timers, we were still meeting over in the old barn. And I just remember Brother Martin, he was up there preaching, and as only Brother Martin could do, he was just talking about all the unreached peoples of the world. And that particular service, I just remember he had a stack of papers where he had actually printed out some 5,000 languages or something like that, where people have no gospel witness, and it's like, wow, you know, it just really began to impact my heart. And I remember surrendering to serve the Lord on the mission field as a 13-year-old boy, if God would allow me to do that. And, you know, looking back, it's always interesting. It was 10 years after that time when God called me to the mission field that 10 years later, in August of 2002, my wife and I surrendered to the call of God to take the gospel to South Africa. And as I was thinking about all this today, I thought, man, good grief, that was 20 years ago this August that God called us to take the gospel to South Africa. And I don't say all that to say anything about me, but just to say this, that I really appreciate what God has done in my heart in missions through the ministry of faithful men and through this church and through many of you, and I'm just grateful for that. And my prayer this week is really that you will open your heart to God and just ask the question, you know, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Because we understand tonight that there's a place for all of us to serve. This is a job that God has given to his churches. Amen. And there is something for every one of us to do. And one job is not more important than another job, but the important thing is that we're each doing exactly what God wants us to do. Amen?
Amen.
You're in Ephesians 4. We're going to read that in just a second. You know, there are so many passages and themes that we could consider when we think about missions. So when my brother, my pastor, asked me if I would be willing to preach this conference, you know, it's like 5 services. Sounds like a lot. Not really when you start thinking about it. And I'm like, where do we go with this? You know, there's a lot of places we could go actually in the Bible to think about missions. When you think about it, the Bible and missions, I mean, it's pretty much the whole Bible, okay? So five services, we're just going to scratch the surface of some very specific things that we're going to look at. I'll tell you in just a minute. But you know, the central figure of the Bible is none other than Jesus Christ, amen? So we could go anywhere in the Bible and talk about Jesus. And anytime you talk about Jesus, you can certainly talk about missions. Amen. The central theme of the Bible is the message of the gospel. We can find the gospel just about everywhere in the Bible. The central purpose of all of the Bible and all that's done in the Bible is to bring glory to Him. The central stewards that we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the stewards of the covenants, the stewards of the promises, and the stewards of the gospel in the Old Testament was the nation of Israel, and the New Testament is the Lord's church. The central mandate that we find in the scriptures is that we are to carry the gospel to the nations, so that some from every tribe will be there one day in heaven around the throne, and that what a day that's going to be. Because there will be some from every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, every people who together in unison, we will exalt the glorious name of Jesus Christ for all of eternity. So when you think about all of that in the scriptures, there's literally no end of choices of where we could go. But tonight, with the Lord's help, we're going to try to take a direction, and I want to talk this week, beginning tonight, I'm just going to really introduce where we want to go with the Lord's help. But I really want to take the theme that Pastor introduced for our church this year, to grow up into Him. And I want to bring that together with the theme of going with the gospel. And we'll talk about that now. And I really want to bring these two things together and understand how God desires for us as a church to really cultivate spiritual maturity in our personal lives and corporately as His church. And as we cultivate this spiritual maturity, how that will impact us and help us to fulfill the Great Commission that He's given us to fulfill. You're in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go ahead and begin reading there in verse number 11 down through verse number 16. And then I'll give you some more introductory remarks about where we're going to go with all of this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 11, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children." That's a key phrase right there. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We're not to be any more children. We are to grow up into Jesus Christ. Verse 16, "From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Going with the gospel and growing up into Him. These are really two primary themes of the New Testament, and we want to bring them together this week and see how they are interrelated and examine how really God wants us to grow in both of these callings at the same time. You know, it's really important for us to not lose sight of the fact, as children of God, if you've been saved, that God has a goal for your life. Amen. He has somewhere that He's taking you, and where He's taking you is very clearly revealed in Scripture. He's taking you to be made like unto His Son. That's the goal. That's what it means tonight when we talk about spiritual maturity, to grow up into Him. It means to be like Christ. That's actually what God is up to in our lives when we come to Him in salvation. But tonight, what I really want to begin to develop is to highlight how we can cultivate spiritual maturity, not only in our lives generally, but particularly, we want to examine how this developing and cultivating spiritual maturity is interrelated with our duty as a church to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, if you've been here any length of time at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, you have been well instructed about the task that we call the Great Commission. Amen. We preach about this often. We understand tonight that God has called us to go with the gospel. We know tonight that the commission that Jesus gave, when He says in Matthew 28 and other places, He says to go ye therefore and teach all nations. We understand tonight that that commission to go and preach the gospel to every creature is given to the Lord's churches. And the authority and the execution of that commission resides with the church corporately. We understand that. But the responsibility of that commission includes each member individually. And so tonight, we understand that there is a place for every member to be involved in the work of missions. When we think about the work of missions, we understand, practically speaking, what does that mean? We talk about things like giving, faith promise. You can relax. I'm not going to preach on giving, actually, this entire conference. So that's your cue. You can come back for every service. Amen? We're not even going to talk about money. Well, maybe Pastor will in Sunday school. I don't know what he has planned for Sunday school on Sunday, but I'm not going to be the bad guy. I'm not going to talk about money. Amen? I am going to talk about a lot of things, but we're not going to talk about that. We understand what the Bible says and the responsibility to give. It requires the giving of our resources to enable the gospel to go to places that have not yet heard. We understand the responsibility to pray. We are going to talk about prayer one of the nights. We understand the responsibility of each individual believer to go. You know, it's really hard to take the gospel to the world if we never get up and go to the world. Amen? The world isn't going to come to us. We're going to have to go to them. We understand that. We understand the responsibility to preach and to make disciples and to start churches. This is really the work that Jesus began, and it is Christ Himself who sends us forth to be engaged in this responsibility as a church. So we understand this tonight. We are called to go with the gospel. We can all say amen. We understand that. However, I want you to consider tonight that this call to go with the gospel and do the work of missions does not really stand alone as some perfunctory duty of some agency out there or some parachurch organization. Amen. This call is something that is to be enthusiastically carried out and fulfilled in the context of the body of Christ. And when I talk about the body of Christ, just for clarity's sake, I think most of you know what I'm talking about, amen? This is the body of Christ. Amen. Those of you that are saved and baptized, and you have covenanted together right here with Lehigh Valley Baptist Church to say we are members one of another, I believe the Spirit of God wants me to be joined to this assembly, and I'm in agreement. I wholeheartedly agree with the doctrines and the direction and the pursuit of this church. And so we partner together. That's what the body of Christ is. So when I use that term body of Christ, just understand, amen, that's what I'm talking about. Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. There's other bodies of Christ. There's other churches out there. But I'm not preaching to them, amen. I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to us because I'm part of this body. And I thank God for that. Amen. So we understand that tonight. But we also understand that the same Lord who gave us the call to go with the gospel and to start churches, he also gives us this call that we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4, and that's the call for his church to grow up into him. And these two things are not really, you know, meant to be segregated into their separate little boxes. Now, I'm a man, and I love to put things in boxes, you know. My favorite box, I might have said this before, is my nothing box. And, you know, it's like when my wife, she says, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, nothing. She's like, how can you think about nothing? I'm like, it's really simple. I'm in my nothing box. You know, there's nothing in here to think about. This is where I go when I want peace and quiet. Amen? And some of you are looking at me like, I don't have a nothing box. And some of you are like, yep, I get that. I go there all the time. Some of you are there right now. Don't go there. Amen. Come back. Where? How did I get there? We like to put things in boxes. These are not meant to be put in boxes. These are meant to be brought together. In other words, as we are carrying out the commission to go with the gospel at the same time, and these are meant to actually work together, complement one another, at the same time we are to be growing up into him. Both of these have individual responsibility, but both of these are really only fully developed within the context of the Lord's church. Here's what I mean by that. You're not really going to be able to fulfill the commission apart from the Lord's church.
Amen.
You're not able to do it because the authority is given to the Lord's church. And the place that that is supposed to be exercised and carried out is actually within the Lord's church. Now, you can go apart from the church and you can do your thing. And a lot of people do and a lot of people have and they do some good things. And I'm not, you know, bashing any of that, but what I am saying is this, the call or the commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and the authority to do so, to baptize and start churches, that's given to the Lord's church. That's really, that's a special authority that we find in the New Testament. Jesus could have done it any way he wanted, but here's how he did it. He started a church, and he authorized them. Now, that's just what the Bible teaches. So if you want to fulfill that calling on your life to be part of fulfilling the Great Commission, you have individual responsibility, but it's done within the context of being a member of the Lord's church. Amen. Same thing with this theme of growing up into him. You know, you have individual responsibility to mature spiritually. You know, that's on you. That's on your shoulders as an individual believer in Christ. However, the place where this is really developed, where God really, and I'm going to show you this from the scriptures in just a few minutes, where God really does his deepest work in our lives is always done in the New Testament in the context of the Lord's church. It's really going to be impossible for you to fully develop and mature spiritually to what God wants to do in your life, to grow up into him, when you are separated and segregated from the Lord's church.
Sure.
You can grow some. Yes, you can read the Bible for yourself. Yes, you can pray. No, you don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. Don't take away the wrong conclusion, amen? But what I'm saying is if you really want to, in the context of the New Testament, if you really want to grow up into all that God wants you to be, then the place for you to be plugged in is in one of the Lord's churches. That's what the Bible teaches. So these calls are not, the call to go with the gospel, the call to grow up into him, these are not mutually exclusive. They're actually, can we put them in the same box tonight? They're actually both supposed to happen at the same time. They're supposed to work together. They're congruent. In other words, the same one who called and equipped his church to go with the gospel is the same one who called his church to grow up into him. You can't say, I'm called to go with the gospel, but I don't need to grow up in Christ. That's probably not going to work out real well. You're going to need to grow up, spiritually speaking, if you're going to effectively fulfill the Great Commission. And you can't say, on the other hand, I'm just called to grow up into Christ, and that's not my responsibility to go with the gospel. Oh no, please don't misunderstand. These are in the same box. If you really want to grow up into Christ, then you're going to be participating in going with the gospel, because that's part of helping you to grow up into Christ. I'm going to show you this as we go along. I'm just kind of making some introductory remarks, and my time is running away. So these two callings are mutually dependent upon each other. We're going to really focus on that this week, how to cultivate spiritual maturity and how this integrates with our missions program. I hesitate to use that word program, but for lack of a better word, our missions program. Program makes it, to me anyway, it makes it sound like, you know, it's this thing out here that we do, and we got this committee, and, you know, then we live the rest of our life. No, missions, listen, missions is really, it's just to be intertwined with the fabric of our lives. Amen. It's just supposed to be what we do. Amen. On a daily basis. And it's not really to be segregated out like that. But I want to say something here, and then I want to give you just a couple thoughts about the pursuit of spiritual maturity as it relates to missions. But I want you to understand tonight, and the direction we're going to go this week, is that missions is about far more. Listen to this carefully. I want this to come out right. Missions is about far more than what God wants to do through you. And it's, in fact, largely about what God wants to do in you. There's a big difference. And a lot of times we think about missions as, and we put a lot of emphasis, and rightly so, on the activity of missions. And I just listed all those activities. You know, we give, and we pray, and we go, and we preach, and we baptize, and we do all of these things. And there's a lot of activity that must needs be present if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. We can put a lot of attention on the external, and all of that I'm going to say is this: that's what God is doing through you, okay? And sometimes we can get this idea that, wow, you know, I'm really important. Look at what God did through me. Let me give you some examples. Man, I got so many Bible studies going. Look at what God is doing through me. You know, I preached the gospel in 10 different countries. Look at what God did through me. And you know what I'm saying? We can begin to brag, spiritually speaking, if we're not careful, about all that God is doing through us. How many people we're reaching. How many places we preached the gospel. How many Bible studies we did. There's nothing wrong with doing all those things. But listen, missions is not really all about what God wants to do through you as much as it is about what God wants to do in you. Here's what I mean by that. The focus is very important, because missions is about Him and not about me and not about you. If all we seek is for Him to work through us, we will likely miss what He wants to do in us. If you sense that God is not doing enough through you, and that's really all you're focused on, you might just get discouraged and quit along the way and be like, well, I tried that. I tried that, going on visitation, and it just didn't work out. You know, I did that for a few years, and nobody wants to talk about it, so I just don't do that anymore. You're too focused on yourself. It's not about you, and it's not about what God does through you. It's about doing what He's called us to do for Him. That's what God wants us to do. Amen. Don't be focused on the results. Be focused on bringing glory to Him. That's really what missions is all about. Amen. You know, in the process, when you are focused on allowing God to work in you, growing up into Him, I guarantee you, He will surely work through you in exactly the way that He ordains. You know, it's interesting to me to look in the Scriptures, and I'm getting off track here a little bit, but it's interesting to me to look in the Scriptures and see the different ministries of the different men of God, Old Testament, New Testament alike. And some of them, you look at what God did through them, and we're like, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. Look at what God did. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul, amen? Not a one of us here tonight would say the Apostle Paul, you know, lacked in God using him. God used him. God worked mightily through him. But then you take Noah, for example, okay, in the Old Testament. Or, okay, let's take a prophet. Take Jeremiah. Take Isaiah. Take any one of those prophets. Were they less men of God? No, I don't think so. They did exactly what God wanted them to do. But if you look at what God did through them, you say, well, he didn't have as big of a crowd. He didn't, you know, he didn't start so many churches. He didn't, doesn't look as successful. Listen, God did exactly what he wanted to do with Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And there were times when Jeremiah wondered, didn't he? And he said, I'm done. I'm not going to speak anymore. And then what did he say? And then his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up within my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I'm going to keep preaching. Doesn't matter if anybody's listening or not, because I'm doing this for him. Amen. Not for me. Not for what he does through me, but for what he's doing in me. When God is doing a work in you, growing you up into him, know for certain that he will do a work through you as well. So with all that in mind, we really want to consider this week this call to grow up into him as we fulfill the call to go with the gospel. And I want to ask this question, seek to answer it partially. We're not going to really be able to fully give a complete treatment to this week, but we're going to do our best with the Lord's help to answer it at least a little bit. What does it look like to cultivate spiritual maturity in missions? Another way of asking that would be like, what are the key areas that God really wants us to grow up in as it relates to fulfilling the Great Commission? You're there in Ephesians 4. You know, in verse 15, let's just read it again, Ephesians 4:15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We see, I'm just going to give you three thoughts. I'm going to be as brief as possible tonight. We're not going to keep you long. I appreciate so much your attendance, and I want you to come back tomorrow night. So I'm not going to stretch your time, amen? But I'm going to give you just three thoughts God put on my heart in the next few minutes here. And I trust it'll be a help to you. First, we're going to look at the call to spiritual maturity. We're just going to touch on this. Then we're going to look at the context of spiritual maturity. And then lastly, we're going to look at the challenge of spiritual maturity. But you know, the call to spiritual maturity is very clear in verse 15. We could look in other places in the Bible, but it's very evident as we read the New Testament, God has called us to spiritual maturity. He doesn't want us to be children anymore. He wants us to grow up into him. He wants us, and what that means, we said, to come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If I could say this, the word mature or maturity is not actually in the Bible. The concept of maturity, spiritual maturity, is usually rendered with one of these words, like the word grow, as we see in verse number 15, or the word increase, as we see in verse 16. And so both of these, the idea of growing or increasing, is the idea of developing spiritually into the image of Christ. If I could give you a definition of spiritual maturity, it would be this. Spiritual maturity is the spiritual growth and development that changes you into the image of Christ. Through the intake and the application of God's word, within the relational context of the body of Christ. Let me just say it one more time, because I thought about this definition. I think it's a good definition. Spiritual maturity is this. It's the spiritual growth and development that changes you into the image of Christ. Through the intake and the application of God's word and within the relational context of the body of Christ. If we wanted to get the real simple understanding of it, we won't take the time, but we could look in 1 John chapter 3, where the Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he says in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You say, what's spiritual maturity? That's spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is this. When I say, I know that I'm a child of God, and I know that I have the hope that one day I'm going to be like him. And so right now, I'm going to be busy purifying myself, growing up spiritually, little by little, changing into the image of Christ. That's what we're talking about. The Bible gives us the correlation of spiritual maturity to that of physical maturity. When the Bible uses terms like this, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, right? In 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John, he talks about how there were little children and there were young men and there were fathers. And so we get this picture in the New Testament, and he's not talking about, you know, those are not literal terms. He's not talking about newborn babes like Ruby back here. He's talking about newborn babes spiritually. People that have just been saved from their sins. Babes in Christ. Little children, as they go from infanthood into the stage of toddlerhood. And some of you have toddlers right now. Somebody asked me the other day if I miss those days, and I said yes and no. You know, there's good things and there's things I don't miss at all, honestly, you know. Isn't that right, Brother Snow? We were talking about that. I said, yeah, I miss those days, but I don't miss changing diapers at all. I don't think I'll ever say that. But I missed that. Anyway, that's not in my notes. Newborn babes, little children, young men. You know, we see this physically, but we should see this spiritually. The picture is of growth and development. If we think about physical maturity, we would say at a very basic level, it's the connotation of one who has developed the character qualities that are fitting of a responsible adult. There's probably a lot of ways to define that one with physical maturity, but that's the basic idea of what we generally mean. Someone who has developed enough sufficient character to act in a responsible way and do their duties as an adult later on in life. This includes physical, intellectual, emotional, and it should include spiritual development. Maturity begins with life. It requires nurturing and instruction and mentoring and responsibility, and eventually it requires passing all that on to the next generation, right? That's like where it really comes to fruition. And so it is, spiritually speaking, in the Bible. A newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word so he may grow thereby. Little children know their sins are forgiven. They've known the Father. Young men have overcome the wicked one. They're strong. The word of God abides in them. And the fathers have known him that is from the beginning. And they obviously, because they're called fathers, have reproduced themselves spiritually. So you say, here's the progression. God wants to take me from an infant in Christ who's just been saved. I don't know anything else except who Jesus is and who I was, and now I'm a sinner saved by grace. And he wants to put me through the paces and grow me all the way up to the point where I can reproduce that life in somebody else. Amen. Lead somebody else to the Savior and help them to grow up. So we understand that. That's what a spiritually mature believer looks like. That's the call to spiritual maturity. Second of all, we see in verse 16 the context of spiritual maturity. The context. Look in verse 16. He uses a couple different words here to identify this. He talks about in verse 16, from whom the whole body. That's the body of Christ. That's the local assembly. That's the church in this verse at Ephesus. And for our application tonight, that's us, Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. The whole body, every member in particular, fitly joined together. You know, sometimes we look at each other and we say, I don't know, do we fit together? I guess we do. No, we do. Amen. Praise God for it. But you know what? It's a work, amen? We don't always fit together. We all have flesh. And so sometimes the flesh gets in the way and the pieces don't fit right. God's working on that. That's part of spiritual maturity. God says he's doing this in the body. He's fitly joining it together. And he's compacting it by that which every joint supplieth. That simply means that every member has a very important part in this process. Amen. There's no members of Lehigh Valley Baptist Church that are less important. The only thing that can put you out of the way in being able to fulfill what verse 16 is talking about has nothing to do with what language you speak or what your background is or, you know, your status or how much money you have in the bank or whether or not you went to Bible Institute or Bible college or whether you're certified or it has nothing to do with that. Actually, the only thing that will mess up your responsibility of fitting together and compacting, you know, strength to the body, the only thing that will get in the way is your flesh, your sin nature. Now that will get in the way for any one of us, amen? And when we let flesh get in the way, we're not going to be fulfilling this. We have a responsibility to fit together, to strengthen one another, and the result is what? In the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, what happens is God fits us together and we yield to the Spirit and we do what God wants us to do with one another within the assembly. We strengthen, we help one another. And what happens as a result of that is that the body's strengthened and it grows. It increases. The word increase actually is the same word as grow in verse 15, and it means to mature. It means we are changed into the image of Christ. You know, it's interesting that in the same way that God has designed that physical maturity, think about your children, those of you that have children or have had children, think about this. The way God designed for physical maturity to be developed is really within the context of a family relationship. Am I right? I mean, they can develop maturity, physical maturity in other settings in life. And, you know, people used to always get worried because we homeschooled our kids and lived on the mission field and say, oh, your kids are going to be so like, you know, they're not going to know how to fit in society. They're not going to, you know, have any, I'm like, listen, you know, we're actually a family. So we actually interact and we actually talk to one another and spend time. And you know what? It's amazing. God puts that context in a family relationship. That's where physical maturity takes place. That's where nurturing, instruction, mentoring, responsibility, and all of these things are learned. You can gain some of that from other places too, but that's really where it's grounded. And in the same way, God has designed that spiritual maturity is actually developed within the context of the body of Christ. In other words, if you're going to really grow up into Him, it's going to happen within the context of assembling together, developing relationship with one another in the Lord's church. You know, what happens is we kind of sometimes rub each other the wrong way, but that's a good thing. It's not always a bad thing, it's a good thing. When somebody is rubbing you the wrong way, then maybe you should ask God the question, what do you want me to change? Sometimes we think, oh, it's them who need to change, and sometimes it may be, but sometimes God just wants you to change, wants me to change. This is part of growing up. This doesn't happen without a church body that assembles together and knows each other and understands what we're going through, one another, all the one another's of the Bible. All right, we're running out of time now for real. Okay, the context of spiritual maturity, it's in the Lord's church. But I want you to come back to this thought now, because this topic of cultivating spiritual maturity is completely intertwined with the responsibility of the church to do the work of missions. Okay? So the primary, we understand this from the scriptures. I'm going to lay all the groundwork. I believe most of you understand this. The primary job that we're here to do, we don't get together to have coffee on Sunday mornings, though I love that. Amen? That's not why we're here. Amen. We're not even here just so that we can assemble and have a conference. This is wonderful, but that's not why we're here. We're here to take the gospel to the world. That's why we're here. That's our function. That's our mandate. Now, spiritual maturity is developed in that context. As each individual believer submits himself to obey the Great Commission alongside his fellow believers within the body of Christ, it's amazing how God uses this as we labor together in the gospel as a church to grow us up into him. Amen. You see, these two things, they really go together. It's crucial to your spiritual development. I want you to understand this. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this. This is really the central heart of the thought of the message tonight. It is crucial to your spiritual development that you would participate in the function of this body in fulfilling the Great Commission. It's crucial. Now, listen. Listen very carefully. Being involved in missions does not mean that you are spiritually mature. I'm saying this intentionally and as carefully as I can. I really want you to understand this. You know, just because you go to a mission field, move halfway around the world to go start a church and preach the gospel, that doesn't equate to spiritual maturity. Anybody can do that, actually. Now, you should be spiritually mature. You should be grown up in Christ enough to do that. But just because, so let's bring this back down to us right here. You say, well, I'm never going to do that. Okay, well, in the assembly, what's your responsibility? Okay, to go and preach the gospel. So just because you go to visitation and you knock on doors or you go to Allentown or Harlem or somewhere else and you're participating in the outreach program, that's wonderful. But just because you do that does not mean that you're spiritually mature. You see, you can do that. Anybody can actually do that without having... Spiritual maturity is something we don't see. It's on the inside. Now, if you're growing up spiritually, you're going to be involved in those outreach. Amen. You're going... And I don't mean by that... I'm just trying to be so careful what I say. I really don't want you to take away the wrong idea. That doesn't mean that you got to be involved in every single, you know, you got to go to Allentown, you got to go to Harlem, you got to be there Saturday, Tuesday. You know what? You do what God has impressed upon you to do. But here's my point. There's a lot of ways, and every one of us should be involved in going with the gospel.
Amen.
Some way, somehow, as a body. You probably don't have time to do all of the outreaches, but you should have time to do some kind of outreach for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to talk about, on Friday night with the Lord's help, the work of prayer and how prayer is actually not a side thing. It's actually the work itself. We'll talk about that Friday night. I'm just saying, there's something for all of you, all of us to do. Now, external participation alone is never the measuring stick of spiritual maturity. What I mean by that is sometimes we can really develop a syndrome of arrogance and pride, whereby we begin to look at ourselves and say, well, look how much I'm doing, you know? I mean, as I look out across the congregation, I don't see people that are nearly as involved as me. You know, I'm really committed to this. I must be really grown up in Christ. Oh, be careful. You're probably going the other direction right now. When you begin to think about yourself in that manner, you're exhibiting a lack of spiritual maturity, actually. Okay, we'll deal with that more on another night. This is just kind of laying some groundwork for where we want to go this week. I want to give you something. I have 50 seconds. I can do this. I can't do it in 50 seconds, but can you give me just 5 minutes and we'll be done? As I thought about this, I thought about our work as a church to fulfill the Great Commission. So going, preaching, teaching, baptizing, making disciples. You know, when you begin to really break that down and think about it practically, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, actually. And it's a great responsibility, and I think it's important for us to understand what we need to actually focus on. So what are the areas where maturity needs to be cultivated if we're going to successfully fulfill the Great Commission? I thought about this, and I thought about seven areas, and for whatever it's worth, I'm just going to read this off to you, just more for the purpose, really, the only purpose of this is to jog your thinking tonight. And because here's the takeaway from the message after I read these things off is I really want us to go home and evaluate what is the area that God wants me to focus on where I need to cultivate spiritual maturity in the fulfilling of the Great Commission. I thought about this from a couple different points of view. There's the point of view, what are the key areas of growth that would be involved for us as a church as it relates to fulfilling the Great Commission in our Jerusalem? And here's something where we all have equal, you know, opportunity and access. I just mean going out and preaching the gospel right here in the Lehigh Valley. And then, what are the key areas of growth that are involved for us as a home church as it relates to sending families out to another part of the world? Because that brings in a whole nother realm of you know, need and responsibility. And then maybe God's tugging on your heart tonight to be one of those, to say, I'm willing to go. I would go serve God in another location. What are the key areas of growth that are involved for a missionary, really, to be spiritually mature, to be able to grow up and fulfill this calling of the Great Commission? I thought of these seven areas. One is surrender. I'm just going to quickly read this just to jog your thinking, then we're going to be done. Surrender. We're going to have to grow up when it comes to surrender. Am I willing to participate personally in praying, giving, and going with the gospel? As a church, are we willing to let go when God calls a man or a family from within the assembly? As a family, as a man, are you willing to go and serve God some other place? Surrender. Number two, preparation. We're going to have to mature in preparation. Being equipped with instruction on how to effectively give the gospel. Willing to engage in the battle of intercession. These are things that you ought to be doing. Amen. These are things that you ought to be preparing. Say, how can I be a better witness? How can I be involved in the ministry of intercession? Number three, faith. I'm going to have to cultivate maturity in my faith life. Faith means I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone by faith and find ways to become a witness for Christ. You say, Brother George, I can't talk to people. I just get tongue-tied and stumble over my words. I can't talk to people. Write letters. Pass out your personal testimony. Write your tract out so you can hand it. I'm saying tonight, it doesn't all have to look the same way, but there are ways that we can all be involved. It is absolutely going to take a step of faith to get outside of our comfort zone to be a witness for Christ. You know, as a church, it takes faith to send families to the field. We have to look to God to provide the resources and open the doors. Primarily, this faith is exercised through prayer. As a missionary on the field, it takes faith. As you look to God to provide the resources on the field, to open the doors, to build the ministry. How do you go somewhere when you don't speak the language, you don't know the culture? How do you build the church there? It's going to require some faith. God's going to have to do it. Amen. Sacrifice is number four. We're going to have to grow up in our willingness to sacrifice. Am I willing to give of the time and the resources that are necessary to pray and give and go? Do you ever find that it's inconvenient? I find this, it's inconvenient. When the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart and says, give a tract to that person, witness that, talk to that person about me. Did you ever have this conversation with the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, Lord, not right now. You know, this isn't the right time. I've got to be somewhere. You're all saying, yeah, we got to be somewhere. You're supposed to be done. I got to be somewhere. Can I do this tomorrow? Tomorrow's a better time. God, I had a bad morning. You know, sacrifice, it usually comes at an inconvenient time. We got to be willing to do what God has commanded us to do. You know what, sending missionaries as a home church, it takes a willingness on your part to involve yourself with the ministry on the field. And I'm thankful for our church and how you guys communicate with us in this way. It takes communication, care packages, holding the ropes in prayer. You can be involved in all of that. And so many of you are. Faith promise giving, visiting the field, participating in the work, providing for the needs when your missionaries come home. And I commend you for all of those things. But I'm saying it takes sacrifice. It takes sacrifice for a family to say, we're going to say goodbye and we're going to go to the other side of the world. We're going to commence the journey and adjust to a new lifestyle. See, we're going to have to cultivate development in the area of sacrifice. Number five, discernment. We're going to have to learn how to effectively evangelize and make disciples in our Jerusalem. Number six, endurance. With the Lord's help, we're going to talk about endurance on Sunday night. Cultivating maturity in the area of our perseverance. Because honestly, it's easy to start out. Amen? It's easy to, you know, everything when it's new, it's exciting, right? And so it's like, okay, it's missions conference. I made a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to start giving the gospel. And so we get started. And, you know, that's great. But then, you know, one door, two doors, couple weeks, no results. And it's like, this is hard. It takes remaining committed to the task of evangelism, discipleship, in the middle of busyness of life. I admire so many of you and your faithfulness to the Lord in this area. Because you know, this is my job. And so I don't have that same burden that you have. You're going to a secular job and then you're coming to visitation on a Saturday or on a Tuesday or to a special outreach or taking a missions trip. Listen, I admire that. It takes endurance in the busyness of life, in spite of rejection and slow responses, to say, I'm going to keep going with the gospel, with my church, because that's what God wants us to do. We have to cultivate maturity in that. Endurance doesn't come the first time you run the race. And last of all is humility. We're going to have to cultivate humility, because all of this has to be done with the heart of a humble servant. Anybody who tries to serve the Lord with the pride of distinction or accomplishment is going to forfeit his reward. Amen. This isn't about us. This is about him. So I just read those things off because I believe tonight it's so important for us to really think about this. And with the Lord's help this week, we're going to think about how to cultivate spiritual maturity as it comes to this work of missions. With God's help, tomorrow night we'll talk about our priorities. How to cultivate maturity in our priorities. Friday night, Lord willing, we'll talk about our prayer life. Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll talk about our preaching. And Sunday night, I already mentioned, we'll talk about our perseverance. But as you go home tonight, I just want you to, if you do this tonight, just to go home and ask the Lord, where do I need to grow up? Because we all need to grow up. Guess what? We're not there. And we're not going to be there until we get to heaven. So as long as we're still here, we need to grow up. There's something God wants to change in our lives, in our church, to grow up into him, to do a more effective job of going with the gospel. Can we